Okay, so the third parak, yay. So the third parak of Beitza, we're moving on from Taros. We're focusing on Ochel Nefesh stuff again, and for a bit, Sad. So we'll just start for now with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah starts as follows: Ein Sadin Dagim Min Habibrim Biyom Tov. So we don't trap, we don't fish for fish in these streams. We'll see in the Gemara exactly how big these streams are. What are we talking about? But on Yom Tov, they know the name Mizonos, and you can't put food in front of them. And again, we'll have to come back to that. But you can trap, you can hunt these animals from these small areas. And Yom Tov, Rishma ben Galil, Omer, Lol, Kolab, Bibra, and Shavin. He says, not all streams, not all areas are created equal. Zaklal, the rule is, Kolab, Mechusar, Tseida, Asur, Zhena, Mechusar, Tseida, Mutter. So anything which, as of now, is still lacking in being hunted, meaning it is still somewhat free, right? It's in a contained area, but you still need to put an effort. Again, the Gemara will say what exactly that means, but meaning it's not fully trapped yet. There's still a hunting process that needs to happen within this area. Then it's forbidden. If not, then it's going to be permitted. So the first question we have to deal with, and that's what we'll deal with today, is why is it that you can't fish on Yom Tov? You can't hunt for these fish on Yom Tov. It's true that Sad is. It's true that Sad is one of the 39 malachos. However, as we know, the big exception in Hilchos Yom Tov, as we mentioned before, is Ach Asher Yaseh Lachem, anything which is done for food, anything is done for people to eat, is permitted on Yom Tov. So why would it be forbidden to fish on Yom Tov? Fishing is for food, so it should be permitted. So why is this an exception? So, as we'll see, some of the Rishonim assume that this is indeed only rabbinic. But on a biblical level, it is true that ochel nefesh is permitted, and therefore fishing is permitted on a biblical level. Derabanan, it's aser for reasons that we will see. Other Rishonim carve out very fundamental exceptions here and lay out the principles of ochel nefesh such that tzad is not permitted, even though it is for food. So if you look at Rashi, I don't actually know why I put it on the sheet. I don't usually put Rashi on the sheet, but okay. Rashi's on the sheet, or it's in the Gemara, whatever you choose. So Rashi tells you that Afal gav deshchita ve'afia ubishol me'avos melachos hein v'hutru l'tzorach ochel nefesh, even though killing, baking, cooking, those are all av malachos. It's a bit weird that he says afia and bishul is av malachos separately. I assume he doesn't mean that they're separate malachos, but who knows? No, he definitely doesn't mean that. It sounds that way, but I can't imagine he means that. But even though those are av malachos, but they're mutter on Yom Tov, time mishum di yeshar mei erev Yom Tov, dishchita chayish lemichmar bisra pen yischamein v'yasriach. So the reason is because all of these malachos are efshar mi be'od yom. You can't do them on Erev Yom Tov. And since you can't do them on Erev Yom Tov, we allow you to do them on Yom Tov. Why can't you shecht? Well, in the age before refrigeration, you shecht it, it's going to go bad, it's not as fresh, so you can't do it. Aval tzeida efshar, let's do them at Yom. But hunting or fishing, obviously you can do it before. Right? You don't have to kill the animal, so you trap the animal and you leave it in a cage, and now it's trapped, and then you shecht it on Yom Tov. So you could just leave it there. You leave it in the fish trap on Yom Tov, and it won't die. And the next day you'll take it. So Rashi says,
isn't he talking just about fishing? Is he talking about animals also?
He's taking both of these, right? Yeah. Meaning,
I think
we're going to have to get to why they're different, but his point is that Sa'd as a...
But you eat fish in water, what do you have to do with
that? Well, I guess, right, yeah, maybe it's either, but yeah, I mean, at least fish, right? These fish you could leave in the fish trap, and that would be fine. Now, the problem with Rashi that Tosfos notes in number, I put it here again. I don't know why I did this. But Tosfos says, you can look at right first Tosfos in the Perek. He says, Perish Rashi, Dafka Gavdochal Nevesh Mutter, Hayun Dafka Kon Bishul Vafio Shchit Deafshan Bimerev Yom Tov. The Yo Ser Tov Pas Chama Vegam Bishul Biyom Tov Shchit Hashem Yisriach. So Rashi says that the distinction between hunting, between fishing rather, and all these malachot is whether you could do it Erev Yom Tov without any lack being felt in the food. I will say that Erev Yom Tov you can leave fish in a trap and it'll be fine. And Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Velonihira? This makes absolutely no sense because the first British Mechilton. It's true that there's such a gzera, that there's such a distinction rather between Efshar mi be'od yom vi Efshar mi be'od yom. But the Gemara says explicitly at the beginning of the Masechta, Gabe gzera shem yitlo she'in l'chalik bochal nefesh bein Efshar lasos merav yom tov li Efshar. And the dafka b'machshirin. By ochal nefesh itself, there is no difference between whether you could do it on Erev Yom Tov or you have to do it on Yom Tov. There's only a distinction in Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, meaning the things which are subsidiary to Ochel Nefesh. You want a source sheet? There you go. But not Ochel Nefesh itself. Ochel Nefesh itself is mutter whether or not you can do it on Erev Yom Tov. And therefore he says, L'kach nir ali k'peirish Rabbeinu Hanan el Mikinon. Probably not Rabbeinu Hanan el Mikinon. I believe it's Rabbeinu Nitan el Mikinon. I think that's a typo. In some manuscript, you find it in some of the other Balayatos is Rabbeinu Nitan el, I think maybe the Ron Mikinon, or whatever it is. Sheperish la'el mishum didami l'ktira. No, it's different. It's a problem because it is like kotzer. Because it's kotzer davar migidulo, you are cutting something off from its life source. We'll have to understand that. But the first question to ask is, Rashi and Tosfos have a fundamental machlokas, which is there a limit on Ochel Nefesh of Efshar or Efshar mi be'od yom? Meaning, does the fact that I could do it on Erev Yom Tov change the fact, right, change whether or not I'm allowed to do it on Yom Tov itself? Rashi says, yes. Tosfos says, absolutely not. Only by Machshirin, only by the ancillary preparations of food, but not by food preparation itself.
Except, isn't the Tzeda an additional step? In other words, Shlita is direct. You're shafting it so you can eat it. The Tzeda is, you're hunting it so you can shaft, so you can kill it.
Right. So neither Rashi or Tosfos assumes it's Machshirin, right? Because it has to do, right, you need it for the food itself. Machshirin, that they're referring to as like spices, are considered machshirin, right? They're ancillary. This is, maybe it's two steps before, but neither Rashi or Tosfos has yet raised the question of stages. They've only raised the question of primary versus secondary. Now we're just saying how far is removed from food. That distinction is distinction number three from the Yerushalmi. So I was going to do Rashi and Tosfos, but let me introduce Shita number three, which is going to be the one of the Ran.
How far is fishing from eating? It's only with animals that you have to shift it, right?
Correct. By fish, it's not. You're right. It's true.
By fish, it's a spirit.
Right. You can eat it right then if you want it raw. Right. You could have sushi, sashimi, whatever. Right. And this is a big shaila in Psak nowadays. A lot of poskim are wondering, right? Because classically, fish was considered something which is not nechal chai, which is not eaten raw, and therefore bishul akum applies to it. But nowadays, fish is standardly eaten raw in sushi and sashimi and all that stuff. So if that's true, then fish might be considered nechal chai, meaning it's eaten raw. If it's eaten raw, then a guy can cook it for you, no problem, right? Which is big nafkamin is in Psak. But halachically, you're allowed to do that, right? Whether or not that's normal, I won't wait, you know. It's definitely becoming more normal.
But what is the distinction in the sense that with hunting or trapping, both fish and animals. I mean, it's not an active malacha.
So that we're gonna have to get back to when we get to tzad, right? I originally was gonna do tzad first, but the truth is that I really have to do this. I mean, I don't have to do this first, but tzad is a longer sugya than what I'm doing now. But we will come back to that question. That tzad question is very difficult because it is a malacha which happens memela. Okay, Yerushalmi is yet a third position here. The Yerushalmi says as follows: Minayin shein borerin velo tochnen velo markidin. So how do you know that you can't do borer, you can't grind, marakid, or another type of borer? Another type of sifting. So acha b'shemer shemim and lakish kol malacha lo yaseh vohem ad ushmartem as hamatzos. Right? So we say that you can't do any malacha except for ochel nefesh until the end of it is shmartam as hamatzos. So what do we learn from that? So Rabbi Yossi boy kulam lamdu l'tavshil ela mikan. Rabbi Yossi lo amar kein ela Rabbi Yossi b'shem Rishon Lakish achashe ochel chol nefesh levado yesel lachem adu shmartam es hamatzos. And Tani Chizkia Upalak Achu Levada Hare Ilum Watchin Shal Yitzor Vilo Yitchon Vilo Raked Biyomto. From this pasuk, somehow you learn that you can't cut and you can't grind on Yom Tov. Now, how exactly does that happen? So the Yerushalmi is a bit hard to read. So I'm just going to go to number four, to the Ran, and this is how the Ran understands Yerushalmi. It's the standard understanding of the Yerushalmi, but it's not so obvious when you read Yerushalmi. Vafilo Achi Lo Dami. No, so did I put it? Sorry, not that one. Skip. I see. I did this in a different order. Skip down to six. That run, right? I'll come back to the other run in a minute. Run in number six says as follows: Yerushalmi nasnu b'zeh shnei tamim. Yerushalmi has two reasons. The garcin and hazim tani ein borin v'lo tochnen v'lo markidin v'abor v'tochen v'raket b'shabes niskal b'yom tov sevik as harbaim v'chule. The Yerushalmi says that these are malachos, and therefore on Shabbos you get skila, but even on yom tov it's forbidden, and you get malchus. Minayin shein tochnen l'markidin. How do you know? So Rabbi Yossi b'shem Reish Lakish omer. So what is this drasha that the Yerushalmi says, Ushmartem es amatzos, klomar milisha va'elach, that ochel nefesh only becomes permitted from lisha and on. Meaning in the Sidur de Pas, in the list of melachot, in food preparation, it's not anything for food. Because think about it, every malacha, not every malacha, many of the malachos in Sidur de Pas are related to food, including planting and plowing, right? Those are all sidur depas. It's all in terms of food. You have to plant, right? You have to plant, you have to prune, you have to, you know, plow, all those things that you can, so that you can eventually have wheat, which you can then grind into flour, and then you can take the flour, and you can knead it, and you can make it into bread, and then you can bake it. Yerushalmi says, no, ushmartem es hamatzos, only from the stage at which it's about to be made into bread, meaning from lisha and on. And therefore, you learn that we exclude from the heter of ochel nefesh the earlier processes of food, tchina v'harkada, right, grinding, sifting, and the like, and for sure, right, the cutting of the stuff from the ground. And tani chizkia upalig achu levado. Chizkia learns it differently. He says, "Achu lavado hare ilu miutin." Those are limitations. Mikan shlo yitzor v'leitchon v'larakad v'yom tov. The machlokes between them is only about borer, right? Can you or can you not separate on Yom Tov? Nikol makom near mishita is Yerushalmi, but either way, what is the Yerushalmi's position? Shatchina v'chayotze behu asura mina Torah. That biblically it is forbidden to grind on Yom Tov. The ein zed darach gemara saying. He says our gemara doesn't seem to hold the way. Darach shin shchikas pilpulin. The cholni dochen kedarkon, because the Bavli says you are allowed to grind. You're allowed to grind spices. Right? Avagav the shchikas vade talot the tochenu. But Yerushalmi it's a cholomar. The sharing on based on leil shayushochim pilpulin rechaim shalom. Ainu mishum l'shalo aizet chinak kedarka. And the Yerushalmi has to therefore explain that when people did grind, it was only in a shalok kedarka, in an abnormal way. So let's just pause for a minute in that run. So far we have three positions, right? Rashi says that why isn't it that you can't fish? Because efshar or efshar mibod yom. Tosu says, no, that makes no sense. By ochel nefesh itself, there is no such prohibition. There's no limitation of by mibod yom or not mibod yom. It's only by mechshirei ochel nefesh. And the Ran says, no, and therefore, one second. Tosfos comes up with a different thing. It says it's dome la kotzer. It's a different malacha. And kotzer is not mutar on Yom Tov. And he either means that biblically or rabbinically not totally clear. And the Ran, based on the Yerushalmi, says no. Even though this is food preparation, it's aser because it's too early in the process. Now, what are they arguing about? So we've already discussed some of these ideas, but now it's time really to lay them out again. Fundamental question. We know that on Yom Tov it is permitted to prepare food, ochel nefesh. But there are three ways of conceptualizing why it is permitted. And we've mentioned this before. As most people say, hutra and dechuya, but as Rochlinsky noted, there's really three, right? One is dechuya, right? The lowest level is dechuya, which means that Really, on Yom Tov, there are 39 malachot, just like there are on Shabbos. But if you need to do a malacha for food, so then you have a temporary override called Ochel Nefesh, which permits you to violate the malacha. Right? That is the rule of Ochel Nefesh. So fundamentally, the malacha is asr on Yom Tov, but if it's for food, there's a special dispensation provided by the Torah. That's Dechuya. Then there's Hutra, which is one step up from that, which usually means that the isr is suspended. Right, it's not that it exists and is held in abeyance when necessary, but that it is eliminated. Reb Lochemzi noted that from the Ramban, it seems that even more than that, we've seen it, but we'll see it again. That, as he said, there's a third shita called lo nemra, meaning it's not that it's held in abeyance. It's not really even that it was like knocked out. It's that Yom Tov and Shabbos are so fundamentally different that there are certain malachot that never, you don't even have to permit it. It just wasn't even in the category at all. So the first things first is that Rashi versus Tosfos, the question of whether, when it comes to Ochel Nefesh, it makes sense to distinguish between Efshar or E-Efshar and Mibod Yom, seems to come down to this question of Hutra versus Dechuya. Because classically, when you deal with something which is Dechuya, something which is only held in abeyance, so we find many limitations on it. Because if the Isser is still there, but under cases of necessity, you need it for food, you're allowed to do the malacha, well then, we're going to be, let's say, stingy in handing out dispensations. It's only considered, quote-unquote, necessary if it's actually necessary, meaning you couldn't have done it yesterday. If you did it yesterday, it wouldn't be the same. The bread wouldn't be as fresh, the meat wouldn't be as fresh, it wouldn't be as tasty, it wouldn't be as enjoyable. But since fishing, you could do before. You could trap the fish, put them in your fish tank, and then pull them out and eat them. On Yom Tov, we're not going to hand out our dispensation because it's not necessary. If, on the other hand, you think that the Isser is waived, right, it's totally waived, so we don't ask such questions. And once something is hutra, once you say, no, it is permitted to be involved in Ochel Nefesh, so as Tosfos said, what are you talking about? Anytime you have Ochel Nefesh, it doesn't matter, Efshar, E-Efshar, Mibod Yom, Machshirin, which aren't food themselves, there's a special dispensation. But in order to get that dispensation, it has to be that it was necessary today. But if it's Ochel Nefesh itself, so then the Isser disappears. So if the Isser disappears, I don't need to justify why I'm allowed to cook while I'm allowed to, right, in this case, hunt, right? The only way it could be usher is if you don't define it as Ochel Nefesh for whatever reason. As he said, it's kotzer. Kotzer is not classically Ochel Nefesh. It's too far removed from food. Now, the Ran seems to be following, as he follows the Yerushalmi, a position which you find in the Ramban. And this is the Ramban we saw at length a few weeks ago, but I gave you just the key again in number 5. Vihine amru moadei Hashem asher tikru osam mikrai kodesh elehem moadai bimeleches avoda. When it comes to Yom Tov, the Torah says that which is forbidden is meleches avoda, is work, not just malacha but work. Aval haShabbos, but by Shabbos we say tishmeru laasos oza Shabbos Shabboson mikol malacha shavolam. On Shabbos, we don't just say that melechet avodah, meaning work, is forbidden. We say melacha is forbidden. What's the difference between melacha and meleches avodah? Right, so, and he says, "Ki asir b'Shabbos pam rabos v'yirmos ad od bekan ki gam bevo be'echad min amod l'mzin chalasos ba'ochel nefesh." So the Ramban seems to say, and we'll see in the Ran how he develops this, that on Yom Tov, it's not Hutra, and it's not Dechuya. It's not that the Isser is held in abeyance. It's not even that the Isser is eliminated. It's that the Isser never existed. Meaning Shabbos has 39 malachos, and Yom Tov, well, doesn't have 39 malachos. It has less. Now, the Yerushalmi's take is, yeah, you know what it means as less. Any malacha, which by definition is food-related, is not part of the malachot on Yom Tov. But where does the food-related malachot start? Mm-hmm. The malachot that are most close to food preparation, meaning lisha va'elach, or maybe borim va'elach, meaning kotzer, yeah, technically it's about food, but it's so far removed, it's melechet avodah. It's not food preparation, it's work in the field. as opposed to lisha anan, where you're actually preparing the bread, those last few malachot are considered food preparation, and therefore they're not even included in the malachos of Yom Tov. Now, the hutra dechuya distinction I just gave you, we don't have to read it inside, but if you remember from a while ago, a long time ago actually, number 4, the Ran on Daf Yud Zayin, right, meaning in the Daf Be'er Riv is Daf Tesamud Beis, but in the Gemara it was Yud Zayin, the Gemara had a discussion about ribui shurim, right? Can you be marba b'shurim on Yom Tov or not? And there's a bit of a tension between the Gemara and Menachot in terms of pikuach nefesh and ochel nefesh. And the Ran had said there that the difference is that Yom Tov is hutra and Shabbos is dechuya. Right? Pikuach nefesh and Shabbos is dechuya. Here, the Ran takes more the Yerushalmi's position, the Ramban's position, which, as Rav Lachlan notes, seems to be even a step beyond hutra. It's not how we classically understand hutra. It's beyond hutra. But I just gave you that to remind us of that discussion from a long time ago. Okay. But we still need to flesh out the Ramban a bit. We did it a few weeks ago, if you remember, where we suggested a theory. But let's see it a bit more inside. So if you go back to the Ran, the Ran says, right, in the middle, where he quotes the Ramban from the Melchamos, he says as follows, HaRamban, Zalkos of Besefer HaMelchamos, Shelo Kol HaMelachos Hutru B'Yom Tov. This is how the Ramban understands it. Not all Melachot are Mutar and Yom Tov, Ela Hechsher HaMacholin LaOchlon. Only that which prepares food to be eaten. Kagon, Afil Bishol V'Chayot Zebeni. Avalotzut Bali Chayim She'inan Bishus Adam. But to hunt, to trap, or to cut something off the tree, asurin, these are forbidden. And then it is melechas avoda, inami, kemoshim furish b'Yerushalmi. As it says, right, like it says, or alternatively, the way it puts in the Yerushalmi, v'kolzei no masbikli. But I don't quite understand it yet, because lama ye also litchon chita minatora, v'emotor ladoch kol yidochen kedarkon. I don't understand. Why should it be forbidden to grind wheat, but be permitted to grind spices? Because Shari Shchika Vade Telada Detochen, Shchika is just a subset of Telada. Aval Akarov Etzli Lefig Marosena. This is how I want to phrase it. Shukol Molechas Ochol Nefesh Asuro B'Yom Tov. Eina Ela Midivrehem. The Ran says, no, anything on Yom Tov that's Ochol Nefesh related. Are you not? Yeah, okay. Is only rabbinically forbidden. Shechamum asra malachos hanasos liyamim harbe kiktira utchina v'chayotze bo'en. The Ran says, this is what it is. The Chachamim said that any malacha which is done for many days, meaning is done for storage, v'aflikitas peiros hanavsadim, ketutim v'anavim, right? Or collecting fruit for a while. Asru, that's forbidden. We follow the majority of cutting, she'ena liyoma, which isn't for immediate usage. And even though by the grinding of pepper, we allow you to do it, and we don't say, well, most grinding is done for a long period of time, right? You don't grind a little bit of flour at a time; you grind a whole, you know, a whole bunch until you know. For the next few days, a few weeks, high new time. He said, the way you grind spices is totally different. Because you use different types of grinders, small grinders, big grinders, and the grinding of spices, anyways, is not like the grinding of wheat. And the hunting of fish as well, the fishing rather, is. Also, isn't usually done day by day. Because you don't want to be stuck without food. Because you don't know whether you're going to get fish today. So the Ran says something on a level of Dirabanan, but we'll see in just a moment that the Rashba thinks of it on a level of Daraisa and says, look, here's the difference. According to Ran, all malacha for food is mutar on Yom Tov. But the Rabbanan made a distinction. They said it depends. Anything which is normally done for that day is considered food preparation. Anything which is normally done for days in advance is not halachically called food preparation because it's, right, it's too far removed. Once is the type of thing, well,
even if you do it for that day.
Even if you do it for that day. Because we don't, and this is where we go back to the question of Hutra versus Dechuya versus Lo Nemra. If you think that the distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov is not just how mutter things are, but it's what type of malacha is even in the category of Isur, so then you don't ask the question each time, is this being done for today or is this being done for a long time? You ask the question, what type of malacha is this, Bechlal? Right? Is this the type of malacha that is used for immediate food preparation, in which case it's on the mutter side of things? Is it the type of malacha that's normally done for long-term things, in which case it's on the usur side? And even if in this circumstance I need it for now, the malacha is defined as a long-term malacha. So, now the Ram says this is derabanan, but we'll see that the Rashba says it. Well, let's look at the Rashba. The Rashba says the same thing, except it says it on a daraisa level. He says, Mikom makom, l'dire hakol nismata tchina varkada. Everyone thinks that tochen, right, grinding is asur. Shlo itira tera b'yom tovel malacho shel yoman. The Torah, meaning daraisa, we say that the only type of malacha which is mutter are those days malachas. Kagon shchita hafiyu bishol. Aval elu tikkun hein v'derech v'nedom v'takem en liyav v'rabim. But these are things that you do for long periods of time. Kadesh lo yitakem v'yom tov machmas chol. And why did the Torah not allow you to do long-term malachos? Because that would make Yom Tov into a weekday. Lo etira atara osan b'yom tov afilu tzorach hayom. So therefore it's forbidden, even if it is necessary for that day. V'lo etira el etikun ochel b'davar shu b'rshuso. And therefore we only permit you to do something which is already in your possession, of a lock or davar migdulo. Lo, to cut something, to remove it from its source of life? No. V'afilu peros an evgam en b'yom tov l'chaver, gondena v'tunum kosh. And say there's Bali Chaim Zhu Bechlal, behind the Tamazis and Dain Sadin, and that's true of fruit, it's true of animals. Vitam is a cause of Rambanz al Biyom Tov Perikin Sadim, it's safer on Melchamos. The Odi Shlomo, and I have another reason, Tam Binyon Isra Tseda, Kadeshul Yerech, Bechorshen, Vyatsud, Vinimtsa, Batam Simchas Yom Tov. By hunting also, I don't want you to go fishing on Yom Tov, because then you'll have no time to enjoy Yom Tov. Uve perakam and the beta karatim yushami maulam and chalavim ata omer kein afu mamed mi Yom Tov l'chol. So, if you remember, I put part of a Rosenzweig's article like 3-4 weeks ago, where he sort of developed Rulichonsin's thesis on this sugya. Where the way Rulichonsin and Rosenzweig understand the Ramban, which you see here in the Rashba as well, is that what does it mean that we said that on Yom Tov it's fundamentally different from Shabbos? On Shabbos, God doesn't want you to do malacha because he wants you to rest. On Yom Tov, right, you don't start with the Isser malacha. You start with the mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov, so to speak. I mean, God wants you to enjoy the day. But if you end up doing all the things that you would normally do, so you won't have a Yom Tov. So the Torah said, I'm not going to forbid you from doing malacha if it aids in your simcha, but I'm going to prevent you from doing the type of work that takes away from your simcha. Where does the Torah draw that line? So the way the Rashba says it, the line is, what types of malachos are normally done for short term? Meaning, which malachos do I normally do in the immediate preparation of my enjoyable meal? And which ones do I do, right, in advance? So to take a simple example, even though it's not really a good example, but, right, limashal. If you're having a, right, if you're having, I don't know, any big, you know, any big event, right, so you want the food to be fresh, right? So, or easier than that, right? I don't know. You want to have a movie night, right? So you want popcorn at the movie night. So you're not going to make the popcorn 3 days in advance because, right, it tastes much better fresh. So even though, sure, once you want to start your movie night, it's going to take you 5 minutes. Let's say you're doing it, you're not even doing the microwavable, you're making it in the pot. So it's going to take you 5 whole minutes, right, to make it. But it's much better fresh, so you wait. But if you want to have a relaxing night and watch the movie, you're going to make sure that when you went shopping, you know, on Thursday, if you know you're going to have a movie night on Motzei Shabbos, so you're going to pick up the kernels of corn at the store, because you know you can just put it in the closet and it'll be waiting for you. You're lechatchila not going to want on Motzei Shabbos to run out to the store to make sure that you have it, because that already, right? If you want to relax, you want... We all understand that there are certain things that you're willing to spend the time on right before because it makes it better. But anything you can get done in advance, you do, right? So sure, we may not want to do our shopping. We do our shopping for Shabbos on Wednesday, Thursday, right? We do our cooking for Shabbos Thursday night into Friday because the closer it is to Shabbos, the better it tastes. You know, shopping, even for perishables, you get a few days. And for non-perishables, we stock up on cans and God knows what for weeks so that we don't have to constantly be schlepping. Mm-hmm. So the Ramban says that's the difference really between Shabbos and Yom Tov. That on Yom Tov, God said, I want you to enjoy. How do I tell you to enjoy? I'm not going to tell you not to cook, because if you don't cook, so the food isn't as fresh. It's not as enjoyable. But I am going to tell you not to the ancient equivalent of shopping, which was, I'm going to tell you, don't go out into the field and pick the fruits and pick the vegetables and go fishing. If you want to enjoy your Yom Tov meal, so make sure that you already have the fish in the tank, right? You have the vegetables waiting to be made into a salad. I don't want you spending 6 hours, because we all know we get home from work and we're falling asleep, right? It's much more enjoyable if by time, you know...
How is that different than rushing?
Well?
How is that different than rushing? Isn't rushing in effect saying the same thing?
So here's the difference, right? So the Ramban says, here's the rule. Any malacha that is normally done immediately prior to the meal isn't a malacha on Yom Tov, period. But once you've done that, meaning once we've taken our list, right? Basically, God took a list of malacha and he said, look, these 33, let's say, are work-oriented. And these 6 are food preparation-oriented. So he erased 6 from Yom Tov. He said that those are malacha, but not malacha avodah. Mm-hmm. Right? They're just malacha, but they're not work. And we just erase them. Once they're erased from the malacha list on Yom Tov, you don't start asking questions in either direction. Meaning, cooking, you don't ask the question, could I have cooked Erev Yom Tov? Because once cooking is in the right list, it becomes permitted no matter what. And on the flip side, though sometimes, right? Like sometimes you're right, I didn't get a chance to, or I couldn't find it, or I didn't have a chance to grind. Now I need it for food, right? I need to do it now. Doesn't matter. It's on the wrong side of the list. Meaning God made a generalization,
right?
So that's how the Ramban understands it. And therefore, the Ramban, the Rashba, based in the Yerushalmi, say, or similar to the Yerushalmi, say, why can't you go fishing on Yom Tov? Because it's not Ochel Nefesh. Why isn't Ochel Nefesh? Because any malacha which is long-term is considered malacha avodah, is araisa forbidden on Yom Tov. Anyone which is short-term is always permitted. That's Rashi. The Ran takes it one step farther. And the Ran, I'll come back one second, just get the thought out. The Ran says no. He's willing to go farther. He says, no, anything which is food-related, short or long-term, is biblically permitted. Even, right, even though, you know, presumably kotzer, right, early ones, cutting down fruit, that biblically is permitted because the Ran takes it farther. Anything related to food at all is permitted. He says, it's true that it is asur on Yom Tov to do anything which is long-term, but it's only rabbinic. Right, so the Ramban and the Rashba say it biblically. The Ran says basically the same thing, but rabbinically. But biblically thinks everything's mutter. Rashi says no. We don't go by the general malacha. We go act by act. Is this act necessary today? Yes or no? Right, it's not a general thing. It's not like we took the malachot and we defined certain malachot in and certain malachot out. Rashi says no. There's a
Everything's in, except?
Everything's in, meaning everything's usur. So everything's out, right, whatever, however you want to look at it. Everything's usur, unless I can justify it now. Right? This particular act, not this malacha, this act must be justifiable. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ram, they don't talk about acts. They talk about general categories. The Rashi says, no, I care about acts. Why? Again, Rashi seems to hold dichuya, right? That really all malachot are asur, but there's a exception. But I need to prove I need the exception. The Ramban says, no, God set a general rule, and certain things are in and certain things are out. The Ran goes farther and says, no, everything that has to do with food is not in the category, but rabbinically we distinguish because we want you to enjoy Yom Tov. And then Tosvos, right, just says, well, yeah, tzad would be mutter, but kotzer isn't for some reason. Doesn't explain to you exactly why kotzer is, though he may be basing himself on the Yerushalmi, right, which may or may not be the same as the Ramban. Yeah.
So what would the Ram do with the Shmartness of Matzos?
He would say it's an asmachta. He says an asmachta. An asmachta, right. The Rashba takes it not that way, right? The Rashba takes it as... Now, it is possible, and I'll throw this out now, it is possible that I'm wrong about the Ran, right? I mean, the Ran sounds like it's Dirabanan. He really does. But it's possible he doesn't, because if you look at the Rashba in 8... also says it's Rabbanan, but not the way the Ran does. If you look at 8, this is how he writes. He says, "V'lo kol malachas ochel nevesh hitar kasuv." Right? Not every malacha is permitted. Sharei achash hitar mi, because after it permitted, it then excluded. Shneimar achul levado yaseh lochem, achul levado v'lochem miyutin hin. And these all, right, are limitations. Ulefichach yesh afilu malachos sheish ben tzarich ochel nevesh vasuros. And therefore, there are certain malachos which are ochel nefesh oriented, but they're still forbidden. And the Torah gave it over to Chazal. And they give you this whole list of things that is usur. Skip to hey. Why these? The Torah didn't want you to do the type of thing that you prepare for many days at a time. And we only permit things in your rishus, and therefore, right, fishing is out. Now, what's the problem? Yeah.
So I'll make an observation. And my observation is you can ignore the theory of whether it starts in the box or out of the box. Put aside derubin and derisa. To me, it appears the big difference between Rashi and everyone else is Rashi saying the distinction is, can you do it? Can you do it before Yantif? And everyone else is saying it doesn't matter whether you could have or you couldn't have, but what was it normal to do?
Correct, exactly, right.
And that to me is
exactly
the distinction between Rashi and everybody else. And then the Shmartim et HaMatzos, if you take that theory and you say everything that's inherent from that point backward wasn't normal to do the day of.
Exactly, right. That's exactly right. Because Rashi, right, Rashi asks about the specific act, because presumably holds dechuya,
yeah.
Right? That exactly, meaning everything's really usur. It's just that I have to judge each act. Everyone else says no. There's something categorical going on here. Now, you're right. They argue, is it daraisa, is it derabanan? But they're making a categorical assessment rather than a local assessment.
It doesn't matter whether I could have, would it have been normal?
Exactly, right? And whenever you make a categorical assessment, that's what you do. You say what's normal. Now, let me just make the point of the Rashba. And this is why it's not totally clear the Ran means it's Dirabanan, right? The Ran says it's Dirabanan. Well, he doesn't really. He says, it sounds like it says it's Dirabanan because he says that the rabbi said it. But if you look at the Rashba says, Umasra akasav lachachamim, the Torah gives it to the rabbis, and then he says, the Torah did not permit letakein liyamim harbe. So what does that mean, right? Is it biblical or is it rabbinic? So here Rav Asher Weiss says something which is has become like a yesod for me. I think it's obviously correct, which is that Chazal function in two different ways. Usually on biblical law. Usually on biblical law, the job of the rabbis is to be exegetes, meaning to interpret, right? Not to legislate, to interpret. And usually when you see rabbis legislating, that means it's derabbanan. Right? I mean, that's a simple distinction, right? Rabbis have two functions. They understand the Torah, and if they're understanding the Torah, that's d'oraisa. And then they sometimes legislate their own things, and that's d'rabbanan, right? Rabbis qua legislators are rabbinic law. Rabbis qua exegetes are understanding biblical law. But Russia White suggests there's actually a middle category where the rabbis are legislators of biblical law. How can you be a legislator of biblical law? So that's what he calls Masra Nakasov LaChachamim. There are certain types of de'oraisas where the Torah didn't give a clear rule. It gave a guiding principle, but never fleshed out the details. In that case, when the rabbis are interpreting, right, they're not interpreting like an exegete, right? They're not taking the pasuk and saying, this is what the pasuk means. They're saying, this is the ethos that the Torah is trying to get across, but we are in charge of instituting what that looks like. And therefore, as we say what it looks like, that becomes biblical law. And that seems to be the Rashba, right? The Rashba says, Masran ha, well, you listen to the words, Masran ha-kasav l'chachamim, not the rabbis legislated, not they interpreted. The Torah gave it to the rabbis to define. And that, so in 9, he writes as follows. He says, Chidum atzum yesh begeder zeh. There is a great novelty here, which it is. Dine be'emes nimtzera kol ha-Torah kula l'chachamim. Kid l'farish ba'komet v'mitzvah. Isn't all the Torah under their right to interpret? V'af kol pasuk u'pasuk. Halom ruchachamim. She'v luchos ha-shnias nechlos ha-lachos ha-kodesh mishrei chazal. Isn't that what we say? The luchos includes all the drashos, etc. V'kol ma'ashe tamid vasig asid l'chadesh nimtzera Moshe Rabbeinu. And anything that any person will ever be mechadesh Moshe heard. Ach, b'chol ha-Torah, ein chach me'tor shebal peh. Normally, the role of the rabbis is to interpret, to understand. But those mitzvahs which we say was given into their hands, it is as if they're legislating biblical law. And therefore they have the right, if they want to be lenient on biblical law when necessary. The example he's talking about here, and I think I mentioned this piece when we did this, is the prohibition of Malach on Chol HaMoed, where you find the Rishonim saying the same thing, that half the Rishonim say it is biblical, right? The prohibition is biblical. If it's biblical, then how can Chazal tell you that you're allowed to violate Malacha on Chol HaMoed if it's going to be a loss? Because it's Masr Nakasav L'Chachamim. It's where the Torah left legislative power of biblical law in their hands. Even though normally they can't uproot the Torah, he says, "Ulechora nira tvei da'agdara zu matima yozel shiz Ramban shlo istamech klal Yerushalmi." And therefore he said, this makes sense in the Ramban, because even though I conflated the Ramban and the Yerushalmi, and I said both of them are being definitional, they're not actually the same. Because the Yerushalmi is trying to find a pasuk to tell me what is the cutoff. The Ramban comes up with a cutoff, misvara. Right? He comes up with a cutoff logically. He says, right, he doesn't quote a pasuk, he doesn't quote the Yerushalmi. The Ran compares the two. But the Ramban himself never quotes a pasuk. It was Chazal who distinguished. The Chazal, in their infinite wisdom, or not infinite, they're not God, in their great wisdom, right, understood that anything which is already in your domain, you can deal with. But anything outside, you can't. The lobe kotzer vitzad, you can't cut things, you can't fish. V'chadom v'shal yodam adam machnez v'ram l'shuso. L'shita so b'emez l'nozze Torah b'ze remez u'mafteach l'chalik min melacha l'melacha. If that's the case, the Torah didn't give you any hint. El shiyadu chazal b'kabalach m'mutu d'ach she'ochal. It was in a smach that they just knew. Dech lo kol melachos hutru. El mikdasan. V'kevin sh'nim sh'bi adam l'kvoiz melachos hutru v'ezer lo kofu. And since Chazal just knew, so they set up as they wanted. So now if we take all the positions that we have, right? So what do we have?
This is a medrash, actually, you know. It's a medrash.
Correct. Correct. Yes, it is a medrash.
Zachon Shomer. which are the first set of luchos.
These first oracle conventions.
Why were they different?
For sure is a midrash. So what do you have? So again, the ochel nefesh question, right? Why would it be usher to fish on Yom Tov? It's ochel nefesh. So Rashi seems to hold, well, no. Ochel nefesh means that really malachot is our usher. They're only not usher if, right, they're dechuya, if there's a local reason to hold them in abeyance. And therefore, as Alan said, you have to, according to Rashi, there's even a distinction between efshar mibod yom and not by ochel nefesh itself, because in each case you have to justify why is this necessary, not in general is it necessary right now, is it or is it not necessary. Everybody else argues in Rashi. Everyone says, no, that's not true.
Isn't it more mashma like Rashi, like when it comes to tchina?
So again, tchina is machirin.
But didn't we learn before, certain spices you could do?
Correct, but that's why Tosa says, oh, that's machirin, because spices are considered machirin. Again, and that's why Tosa said those are considered machirin, spices are machirin.
Do we have to sharpening a knife for shchita?
Machirin.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, that was more like what Rashi's saying, that...
Again, that's machshirin, right? Because that's too far removed. Because that's the knife for the food. Again, that's why machshirin. Yeah,
but it's not machshirin for pepper.
So that was the. So we saw. So that is again spices. We saw this middle category, and that's why it's so confusing. We touched on it here, but I left it mostly because it's really a first parak discussion. But again, spices. The problem is it's sort of machshirin, sort of not. It's machshirin hanichmas laochel, right? So it's a middle category as we saw, and that's why it gets so messy. But that's Rashi's position. Everybody else doesn't like this, presumably because everyone else either holds some sort of hutra or lo nemra. Because the simple understanding, according to most Rishonim, is a no. Ochel nefesh means either certain malachot are totally waived, which is the Ran understood it on Daf Yud Zayin, or even more that certain malachot never made it into the list. Now, which malachot never made it into the list? So here you have a division again. According to the Yerushalmi, if you think the Yerushalmi means this as an actual drasha, not an asmachta, the Yerushalmi has exeris akasuf. Anything either lishanon or boreranon is crossed off the list. Anything before that on the list is usher. And that's it. Right? The Ramban says no. There is no magic pasuk. There's a logic here. Anything which is the type of thing you do for the day, those malachot don't count. Anything that you normally do for long term is usher. And again, yes, as Alan noted, once we've made that distinction, we don't care. We go by normally. Is this a long term or short term malacha? A prep for food or a long term storage malacha? Once we answer that question, it cuts both ways, l'chomra and l'kula. If it's the type of thing you normally do for long term, but today you forgot to go fishing, so you want to go fishing for your meal, too bad. And vice versa. If it's the type of thing that's normally done for short term, and today you're doing it for long term, right? It would be, right? It wouldn't be a malacha. Now again, there's a special halacha, you can't do it, right? As we saw, you aren't allowed to do things not for Yom Tov, but... As we saw, the Rishonim struggle to figure out why can't you do things on Yom Tov. And as we saw, some of the Rishonim say, you're right. It's usher to do things not for Yom Tov, but it's not ochel nefesh. It's not a violation of malacha. It's an isra say, right? It's some other avira or mitzvah or something like that. We saw the Rishonim struggling. Why are they struggling to come up with a new isra? Because from the vantage point of ochel nefesh, you can't forbid it, because once you categorically removed it, it's removed. The only way to bring it back in is to create some new iser or new mitzvah asay that you aren't allowed to do things. And that was what we saw on, it was a while ago, right? It's really adopted betzugah, but we saw it. I don't even know when we did it, because there's several places we could have done it, but we did it at some point in the second parak, right? We did it at some point. Now, the Rajba tells you that it's Masr Nakasav Lechachamim, which, as Rav Asher Weiss notes, that it seems to be a case where he thinks this distinction is biblical, but even though it's biblical, there are certain times when the biblical law itself was given to Chazal to mold and act as legislator of God's will directly. The Ran either means that, or if you take the Ran simply, the Ran says, no, on a biblical level, these distinctions, right, were even broader. Basically, every malacha is that's in any way food-related is permitted, But on a rabbinic level, we draw the line based on things that are long-term or short-term. If you remember, did I put it back here? Yeah, I did put it here. Number 12, there was yet an even more extreme position that existed, right? Because according to the Ramban, it's any melacha normally done for long-term is aser, any normally short-term is mutter. According to the Ran, if you take him simply, that the limitations are Rabbanan, it's any food-related melacha, like hunting or whatever, fishing, is going to be permitted on a biblical level, but rabbinically they'll be forbidden. But if you remember, Tosvos had taken this farther in Shabbos. Tosvos said it's not just any malacha which is food-related. It's any malacha I could possibly construe as being food-related ever on a biblical level is mutter. In 12, we saw this. Right? Making cheese is considered bona, biblically. So, if making cheese is bona, so then bona must be mutter. So if your house falls down on Yom Tov, you should be allowed to build your house. You're right. Biblically, building building on Yom Tov is only Midar Abanan. Biblically, it's permitted because it theoretically could be construed as Ohel Nevesh, right? So Tosvos takes it. Now, ironically, this is not, I think, Lo Nemra. Right? This is where I think Lo Nemra is actually less expansive than Hutra. Because Lo Nemra, right, the Ramban Shita, that there are certain malachot that are in and certain malachot are out, tells you that the malachot that are out because they're food-related. But let's say something theoretically could be used for food under some circumstance, so it's still going to be usur. So the fact that bona sometimes can be used for food, like making cheese, doesn't tell you that bona is mutter. But Tosfos seems to take an extreme hutra, that no, any malacha that could be used for food, so becomes suspended, right? It's not a definitional thing. It's anything that in any way can be ochel nefesh gets not like written out, it just gets a permanent suspension. And therefore, ironically, it's more expansive than the Ramban, because he doesn't try to ask the questions, which malachot does it make sense to include and which does not make sense. He just said, which malachot could possibly be included in anything that could be possibly be included, so then it's going to be permitted, right? It's this weird overreach of Hutra, which...
Based on that logic, kotzer should be permitted.
Correct.
If for fishing...
On Daraisa, correct. Right, but we saw this already, right? We dealt with this Tosfos when we did Bona, and we talked about how Tosfos is totally out there, right? This is an outlying Shita, but this is, you know, if you want the range of positions from Rashi to the Ramban to Tosfos, this is your range. You have extreme minimalist of Rashi, and then you have the two different types of maximalist positions. The Ramban, which is maximalist in the sense that he defines Yom Tov fundamentally different than Shabbos, such that I don't even have to try to think about why it's permitted to do certain malachot. But I do have to ask the question, what is the norm such that I can figure out which malachot count? And then you have Tosfos, who's maximalist in a different way, which is, it's not about what's normally used. It's anything which could be construed as ochel nefesh, right, automatically gets a pass for everything.
Yeah. The Tosfos here that is saying...
Tosfos here doesn't hold like Tosfos there.
Okay. I
will never, ever, ever ask a stira between Tosfos and, because that's ridiculous, right? Like, what? Tosfos was written by over 100 people, right? I understand that this is a very yeshivish thing to do. The Aharna will be like, oh, there's a stira in Tosfos. No, there's not a stira in Tosfos. If it said Rabbeinu Tam in both places, it's a stira. If it's a unnamed Tosfos in one place, and it will...
Or Tosfos Yashar.
Or in this case, it's a named Tosfos. Tosfos and Beta, it's the, well, somebody making known. The Rash making known, the Ran making known, the Rach making known, somebody. And in Shabbos, it's an unnamed Tosfos. I have no reason to think that they are related to each other, right? I might as well just say, right, okay, so the Orzaru is a Bala Tosfos and the Rabbeinu Tam is a Bala Tosfos. I don't ask stiras between them because they're different people. Well, so are these. I mean, it's just a collection. Okay, we're going to have to stop there for now. What we'll see next week is that everybody we've seen today thinks that the problem with fishing is ochel nefesh related, either daraisa derabanan, but they think it's ochel nefesh related. The Rambam and the Meiri reject this analysis entirely and say, no, this has nothing to do with Ochel Nefesh. It's about Muktza. And you were totally barking up the wrong tree here, right? So we will come back. Correct. Muktza on Yom Tov is more machmir than Muktza on Shabbos. So that's the first Gemara in Beitza, right? That Muktza is Be'ikaron on Yom Tov and secondarily on Shabbos, more Muktza on Shabbos than on Yom Tov. But that's what we'll have to get to next week. That won't take us the whole time, so I'll have to already start. That's the actual tzatzik is next week.
It's a tircha that you don't know you'll accomplish. You go fishing, you'll do the work. You don't know.
We'll see the tircha. We'll see tircha. We haven't gotten to tircha yet. But that may be related to the Rambam's Muktza.